President Bush has activated Cold War-era plans for a shadow government. He has sent about 100 government officials to live and work outside Washington, D.C. The story appears in today's Washington Post, whose reporter, Barton Gellman, is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Shadow government was designed to help the government withstand Cold War nuclear threats. Why has it been reactivated now?
Well, it's never been activated before because during the Cold War, they always assumed they would have some strategic warning. Now we have an adversary that would like to attack with no warning at all.
But do they call it a shadow government?
No, I'm trying to find some way in plain English to talk about it. They call it the COG, which is short for Continuity of Government.
Who's involved in operating?
Well, the people who are living and working in these underground bunkers are top career officials mainly. They're GS-14s and 15s and members of the senior executive service. They're people who've spent their whole lives in the departments and understand the issues and the information systems that would be needed to start to reconstitute government in the worst case if Washington vanished from the map.
So they're not the appointees, the deputy secretaries, the assistant secretaries?
There have been Senate-confirmed officials who've passed through, but they're not stationed there as part of the normal rotation.
About Vice President Cheney, who's disappeared for long periods?
Well, either the vice president or some other senior member of the constitutional chain of succession has been away, and sometimes they've been in one of these two sites. But this is kind of a parallel procedure to that. You need a constitutional successor to the top leadership, but you also need to have a level of management that would allow that person to give effect to his orders.
They don't want to tell you where this is. It's outside of the Capitol.
We know at the Washington Post where this is. It's two places, and the government has asked us quite firmly not to name them. We can say that they're secure facilities along the East Coast.
Very high tech, I would imagine.
Well, oddly enough, one of them is very high tech because it has been principally devoted to an existing military alternative command structure. The other one was prepared during the Cold War and hasn't been updated so often. So these shadow governors arrived there and found computers that were several generations behind and incapable of accessing current databases. They found not nearly enough phone lines, not nearly enough of the technology that allows secure audio and video links. And so they've ordered rather hasty upgrades.
I guess that's part of this budget, the emergency budget for terrorism that's been passed.
I'm confident that it is. This part of it is classified. You have to realize it's a huge expense and disruption to start to maintain scores of people in a remote location. The numbers have ranged as high as 150 or so, and in the quietest periods, it goes down to 70.
This has been going on since September 11th. We haven't been paying attention to this.
Since early morning on September 11th, they were scrambled on the fly as an emergency measure. The White House expected this to last maybe days. But as they stopped and considered the possibilities, and the key threat here is a nuclear detonation, they decided they had to keep it activated. I'm surprised it hasn't leaked before now. You're talking about more than 200 people altogether since September 11th who vanished from their families for periods of time.
Yeah, that was the source of my question there. Why haven't we noticed this?
Well, under penalty of prosecution, they're not allowed to say where they're going and tell even their families why they're going. And so you have, in effect, people who are saying, goodbye, I'm going on a business trip. You'll be hearing from me later.
And they've never done this before, not during the Cuban Missile Crisis or anything else that came up over the course of the Cold War?
I asked exactly that. I thought the Cuban Missile Crisis might have spurred this, and the Bush administration could be wrong, but I'm told by them that it's never been activated before.
Wonder when they get the all clear.
Well, I've been wondering this myself. It's a hard question. If the threat is the possibility, and I should stress they don't know that this is true, possibility that Al-Qaeda has a nuclear weapon, when can you prove the negative and decide that it's time to send these people home?
Thank you. Washington Post reporter Barton Gellman.